after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Kigali, where Eugene Uwimana has a feature for us on Rwandan referee Salima Mukunsanga. Salima made history earlier this week when she became the first woman to officiate a match at the Men's Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Zajen.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Sunny.
I'm happy with my profession.
Salima Mukunsanga is putting Rwanda on the map. Sports analyst Ethan Tashobia says,
as sports fans, we're not entirely happy that Rwanda is not represented on the field in terms of playing, having a team that is playing for the country. This is something that we've been waiting for since 2004 when we last represented, participated in the competition. But again, having Salima Mukunsanga as the first ever female referee to officiate at the finals of Africa Cup of Nations is such a huge milestone, not only for Rwanda, but for the African women sportsmen and referees. I think she's opening up for future milestones.
In 1988 in Western Rwanda, a girl who would make history was born in the Rusizi district near the border of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Salima Mukunsanga is a nurse by education. She has a bachelor's degree in nursing, which she received from the University of Yitwe. I had the chance to talk with Salima a few days before she flew to France to officiate matches at the 2019 Women's World Cup. She said her father was a big influence in her becoming a football referee. I believe I got this talent from my dad. He was a sportsman. He was not a referee like me, but he played football a long time ago. And when he was old, he used to sponsor football clubs. Salima says when she started as a ref in 2008, she was harshly criticized by football fans who said being an official on the pitch is a man's job. I reached the point where I was about to quit. You see, I do a lot of physical exercises, and I get paid per match. So that time, matches were not many, which means there was no money. It was difficult for me, but because I knew what I wanted, and it is my passion, I had to be resilient. Salima says her big dream is to officiate matches at Senior Men's World Cup. However, football is not her favorite sport. When she was in secondary school, she loved to play basketball, but due to a lack of female teams, she couldn't continue. Her vision changed. And now she says she exercises 6 days a week to stay fit and achieve her dream. Salima says one setback to her development has been the lack of female football competitions in Rwanda. In our country, female competitions are not many, and to get access to international ones is not easy. It's a problem because the more you get men matches, the better you become. In becoming an international football referee, Salima Mukunsanga has empowered many Rwandan girls. So says a sports commentator at Rwanda Broadcasting Agency, Rugoga Ruth. When girls hear the story of Salima, they understand that it's possible. It motivates them to keep believing in sports and consider it as a career, a profession that you can make a living with. She's a Rwandan treasure. Rwanda has been recognized globally for its efforts to promote women in politics and other fields. Ethan Tashobia says Salima is a visible product of these initiatives.
I think the international community, especially Africa, is recognizing the effort that the Rwandan government is putting into to support women, to empower women in all sectors. And when Sarima Mukansanga was given an opportunity to officiate at the just concluded Olympic Games. I think the CAF was awake. They were watching and they were like, this lady is from Rwanda. She's from Africa, from a country that has been at the top of women empowerment in all sectors, politics. And then here we have a sports personality in her own category. I think it's sort of attached to the entire effort that the country, the government of Rwanda is putting in to empower women.
The Confederation of African Football, CAF, says Salima Mukansanga is one of 63 referees at the African Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. On Monday in Bafoussam, Cameroon, Salima made history as the first ever woman to officiate a match at African football's premier event. She was the fourth official as Guinea defeated Malawi 1-0. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Eugene Wiman, reporting from Kigali, Rwanda.
Thanks, Eugene. And here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Salima Mukansanga, making history at the Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. Joining us now from Cameroon with more Nations Cup news is Samson Omale. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you, Sonny, from Garoua in Cameroon. Day three of the African Cup of Nations on Tuesday saw three games with Algeria, Nigeria, Egypt all in action. But arguably the best game so far in the tournament was the early kickoff in Garoua, where it was the battle of the powerhouses in West Africa and North African football. Three-time winners Nigeria and seven-time champions Egypt displayed a class many fans in Garoua will talk about for a long time. Leicester City striker Kelechi Iheanacho scored a goal of rare quality as Nigeria won its opening game of the African Cup of Nations against Egypt. The Leicester City striker scored the winning goal in the first half, firing his first volley high into the net after pivoting beautifully on the edge of the box. Kelechi Iheanacho, who was voted man of the match, speaks of the victory by the Super Eagles.
It's a massive result for us. I'm really happy, and we get the 3 points today, so we've been training really hard for this game, and we know they're a good side. We've been training since we opened the campaign. We've been working really hard how to play against them, and we did that today, so it's a massive 3 point for us. Hopefully, this will give us a momentum going forward into the next games.
Interim coach Augustine Iguavon, who is in the spotlight for all the right reasons, said winning, retaining possession and cutting off the supply to Mohamed Salah was the game plan he deployed against the Pharaohs of Egypt.
Yes, you know, Egypt is not a weak side at all. It's a respected side, coached by one of the top coaches in the world, you know, and then one of the best players in the world also in that team. So you cannot say it's a weak side. It's a very strong side. We work so hard day in, day out, tactically, physically also, and give the boys a whole lot of confidence. Respect always your opponent, but don't be scared. Respect your opponent and play your game. Feel free to enjoy yourself. And that was the game plan. Egypt is never a weak side. I don't think it's a weak side, but it's the way we worked hard.
The Pharaohs struggled to gain any traction in their tournament opener, with star man Mohamed Salah left isolated and frustrated by a lack of attacking rhythm from the team in red and white. Egypt national team manager Carlos Queiroz admitted that they produced a very weak display and were inferior to Nigeria, but says they need to focus on their upcoming clashes.
I think it was clear first half we just we're not on the pitch. We have a very, very bad first half. The Nigerian team, they start strong. They start to control the game very early. They better in a lot of things, speeding, duels. They score. In one of the opportunities they create, they deserve to be winning in the first half, no doubt about that. I don't understand. Play, change the position of Mustafa? No, we play with three forwards. And at the beginning, our match plan was to create an element of surprise against the Nigeria team. Salah played in that position many times, either in 4-3-3, 4-4-2. And the goal was during a couple of minutes in the first half to damage the match plan, the match preparation of Nigeria, because they expect always, everybody expect Salah in the right side. And we start well. At the beginning it works. Mustafa give a good answer. And we start controlling the game, but all of a sudden Nigeria, they come up and they start to control the game, and it doesn't work as we expect for us. But there was a strategic movement, not to play that system, but to create a new element in the game for the Nigerian players.
The team to return to Group D action on Saturday, 15th of January, with Nigeria taking on Sudan and Egypt facing Guinea-Bissau. In the last game of Group D, Sudan and Guinea-Bissau settled for a goalless draw. The draw saw the two teams start their Group D campaign sharing the spoils, with Guinea-Bissau's African Wild Dogs left to rule Peles Mees from the penalty spot. The Falcons of Jidene, the Sudanese, were the better side in the opening exchanges, with their star striker Mohamed Abdurrahman looking hungry for goals on the night. The Sudanese midfielder, who plays professionally in Hungary, said the draw will make them prepare better to face Nigeria in their next game.
Okay, so you're in the same group with Nigeria, with Egypt. Do you see yourself beating any of these two teams in the group?
You know, we change a lot in this team. We have too many young players. So we want to build up, you know, now for the future. But I was very impressed how we play, and was very good. You know, we play against Egypt, we play against Nigeria. I know they have big players. They have players who play in top teams in Champions League, Europa League. But for us, the most important to play football and to show and to prove first for ourselves and after for everybody.
How far do you think you guys can go in the tournament?
How far? I don't know. Depends, you know. See, also Guinea-Bissau, they have players also who play in Europa, like they play in good teams, and we have players only who play in Sudan, most of them, and some players from outside. But we also make a good game.
For his part, Guinea-Bissau's Pele, who missed the spot kick, told the sunny side of sport that they have put the game behind them and not afraid of Nigeria or Egypt.
Yes, I'm disappointed the result, because we try to win the game. We fight to win the game, so it's not possible to win. So we need to fight against Egypt and in Nigeria to win the next games. It's a tough group. We know our quality. We know we can play against all the teams. So we try to fight, to do our best to qualify. No, I'm not scared for nobody, because all these players like us, so we don't need to be scared for no one.
All right, your side lost a penalty today. I mean, what do you make of that? You have buried the game today.
Yes, it's a very hard to miss the penalty, so I'm disappointed to miss the penalty, because it's a great opportunity to win the game. So it's not possible to win. So now we need to see forward, to see another games.
Title holders Algeria were held to a surprise goalless draw by Sierra Leone, as they made an uninspiring start to the defense of their African Cup of Nations title in Douala on Tuesday. Algeria were expected to get their Group E campaign at the tournament in Cameroon off to an easy start against Middles Sierra Leone, who were returning to the tournament for the first time since 1996. But it proved a brave showing by the West Africans as they clunk on for a point in sweltering heat in the port city of Douala. The result did, however, extend Algeria's unbeaten run to 35 matches, putting them within touching distance of the record of 37 undefeated internationals in a row set by European champions Italy last year. Lone stars Stephen Colker and Keir Kamara were both excited that the draw have given the Lone Stars the needed hope and confidence, looking forward to a good showing in Cameroon.
For me, that's my biggest purpose here, is to give a smile to the people back home. You know, Sierra Leone has had so much struggle for so many years, so for now, today is a day of joy, and hopefully we can have a few more days like that in the tournament.
I know a lot of people did not have us in a position to get a result from this game, because it's Algeria, but the heart that we have as Sierra Leoneans and the way we fought together, we have to be proud of this moment. It's a good one for us. I mean, yes, not a lot of people know about Sierra Leone, but I respect the guys, most of the guys playing from different parts of the world, and we all come together. We have one cause. Again, it's Algeria. They have maybe bigger players and, you know, well-known players, but collectively, I believe in my team that we have more chemistry.
And Ivory Coast were dealt a blow on the eve of their first game at the tournament, as first-choice goalkeeper Slevan Boho was ruled out for doping. The Ivory Coast Football Federation revealed news of the FIFA-imposed ban on Tuesday, 24 hours before the Elephants play Equatorial Guinea in their opening group game in the Cameroonian city of Douala. The 33-year-old started all six matches in the group stage of the African qualifying for this year's World Cup, including, most recently, a decisive 1-0 defeat in Cameroon in November. He was their first-choice goalkeeper at the 2019 Cup of Nations and appeared in every game bar the final when the Ivory Coast won the continental title in 2015.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale reporting from Cameroon with an oh-so-spicy package of Nations Cup football news. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. For more reaction to Nigeria's 1-0 victory over Egypt at the Nations Cup, Iron Mike Mbonye called Cameroon, where he reached the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
I think it was an enjoyable game for the neutrals and for Nigerian fans. It was the game the Super Eagles of Nigeria really brought back memories of the Eagles of yesteryears. These exuberant, flamboyant, and trickery on the flanks was something that really, really permeated throughout the pitch, and Nigerians, both home and abroad, and those that were in Cameroon, really loved that, and they have the feeling that this is the Super Eagles they used to know. So it was a very good game. I was proud to be in the stadium to also enjoy it by myself, and I do hope that the team will continue in this stage and not only entertain fans but also get good results after at the end of the game.
Do you think the Super Eagles surprised bookmakers with the victory against Egypt?
Yeah, to a large extent. Not many could think that the Super Eagles would overawe their Egyptians the way they did here in Garoua on Tuesday. With the array of stars available for the Egyptians, Mohamed Salah, Elneny, Trezeguet, Mustafa, and co, you could have expected quite more tense and tight game, but Nigeria really caused them lots of problems, and they couldn't really provide answers to many of the Super Eagles' questions. So, yes, the bookmakers would have thought that perhaps with Mohamed Salah captaining the Egyptians, they had the wherewithal to, you know, bring in a good result against the Super Eagles, but they were shocked. And not only the bookmakers, the neutrals in Africa were surprised with the way the Nigerians played, when you consider the fact that just 2 months ago, Nigeria, under the Frenchman Gonoro, were not pleasing to watch. This languid display all over the places. But on Tuesday, it was energetic, it was enterprising, and it was very, very entertaining.
From your perspective, do you think the Super Eagles missed Napoli forward Victor Osimhen?
I have always been of the opinion that Nigeria's national team do not miss players. Yes, Osimhen will have added an extra bit of dimension to the team's play with his aggressiveness and his directness right there in front. But even in his absence, Taiwo Awoniyi's hold-up play was something good that really troubled the Egyptian defense all night. And although, like I said, we miss Osimhen's directness, but in all, it didn't in any way affect the team's overall performance. And that is how it's going to be throughout the competition. Whatever we do in this competition will not be because Osimhen was there or was not there. It will be because maybe players do not live up to expectations, or maybe players do not do what they ought to do per time. So that's how I feel. Now they've started on a good stead. They've totally outplayed the Egyptians. They played them off the park. They've used their pace to devastating effect. If they can continue, then the sky will be their limit in this competition.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Garoua, Cameroon.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC Forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Thoughts on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week. Right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, British star Andy Murray seems to be picking up some steam ahead of next week's Australian Open. Craig Gabriel reports from Sydney, Australia.
When they last played, Andy Murray proved supreme against Nicolas Basilashvili. It was at Wimbledon last year. On the hard court of the Ken Rosewall Arena in Sydney, with pelting rain making a racket on the roof, Murray did it again. But there was nothing straightforward about the win. In fact, he was a game away from losing before scrambling back to upset the second seed, 6-7, 7-6, 6-3.
Yeah, I think it was, I mean, in that respect, it was good. Obviously, I would have liked to have closed the match out sooner, but I think physically I did well this evening. It wasn't too hot. It was very humid on the court. Not easy playing a match like that, you know, long one, you know, finishing kind of late around midnight and stuff, and hanging around the whole day to play the match. I was happy how I handled the match physically.
Not since the 2017 Australian Open has Murray won back-to-back matches in Australia. Aslan Karatsev, who saw his career take off a year ago in Australia, returned as the top seed and is also through to the final eight, where he plays the Italian Lorenzo Sonego. The name almost sounds like a song that Andrea Bocelli would be performing. The Brits are also represented by Dan Evans, who's into the quarters, beating Spain's Pedro Martinez. And an American is guaranteed to be in the semis because Brandon Nakashima has upset the seventh seed Fabio Fognini and will be taking on the tallest man in tennis, Riley Opelka, who stopped the last Aussie in the men's singles, Jordan Thompson, 6-3, 6-2. On the women's side, Garbine Muguruza dismissed Ekaterina Alexandrova, 6-1, 7-5.
I knew that the second set probably was going to be tougher because maybe she started to play better, it got more equal, and I managed to save those set points that were very important and put pressure on her and force the tiebreaker, because once you're in the tiebreak, you know, you feel like anything can happen, and I just stood strong there. I feel like feeling that if you work so hard in the off season and then you come and you have all this energy and all these things in mind to put in the game and fresh, some sort of freshness in the mindset, and I don't know, there's great tournaments, great environment. I feel like, why not? Great tournaments.
Ons Jabeur scored her first ever win over Petra Kvitova. Three times they'd played, and the Tunisian had never even won a set before. She was down a break in each set before winning 6-4, 6-4. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Sydney.
Thanks, Craig. And we'll keep our eyes on the Tunisian Jabeur at the upcoming Australian Open. At the 2020 Australian Open, Jabeur reached the quarterfinals in women's singles.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Chelsea Football Club manager Thomas Tuchel has called on the Premier League to be more transparent in deciding match postponements during the pandemic. VOA's Gwen Ooten has more from Tuchel. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Thomas Tuchel's call for transparency comes in the wake of several postponements in the Premier League. The latest came on Sunday when Leicester City's clash at Everton was called off, making it the 19th league match to be postponed this season due to COVID-19. Tuchel spoke ahead of his side traveling to Tottenham Hotspur for their League Cup semifinal second leg on Wednesday. And the Chelsea manager said while match postponements have been commonplace due to COVID, he does not believe the Africa Cup of Nations now underway in Cameroon will cause any further delays, despite many teams now playing with a depleted squad.
I would doubt that you can postpone a match because of African Cup of Nations, because that would be a big surprise, actually. All the details in the regulations, I have to admit, I'm not aware of it. But transparency most of the time helps. And in these decisions, it would help to make people understand why. In general, we can still be happy that we have fans and fans are still allowed in the stadium and everybody's trying hard. I guess everybody's trying hard to have a squad ready and competitive for every match.
Chelsea are the reigning title holders in the Champions League and currently second in the Premier League. They have not had a game postponed this season, despite Tuchel's request last month to rearrange a league game against Wolverhampton after seven positive infections depleted his squad. But despite his belief that he made a strong case, Tuchel's request was rejected. In contrast, last week, Liverpool's Carabao Cup semifinal at Arsenal was postponed due to an outbreak that manager Jurgen Klopp said included several false positives, 13 to be exact. Thomas Tuchel was asked how the two situations compare.
No interpretation. I believe him and people will look into it. It can happen. We had one false test in Wolverhampton, one false result of a test sent Jorginho straight home. Games were postponed. When we arrived in Wolverhampton, we thought that we have a big case, and we had actually seven positive that were positive. So we thought like we could also have like the possibility to maybe postpone one match. But decisions were taken. You know my opinion about it, but I will not comment on other clubs situations. We struggled. And we still can struggle anytime, like everybody can. And I don't know enough about the situation to comment on it.
Tottenham Hotspur manager Antonio Conte also spoke on the eve of his clash with Chelsea, but talked primarily about improving his side during this month's transfer window. The Hotspurs are currently sixth in the Premier League, and Conte says he's hoping to bring fresh talent to the squad.
I don't have expectations, and I know that we have to solve many problems. And for me, in this moment, the best possible way is to try to get out the best of my players and to improve the squad. I think that now, in this moment, this is the only way that I can go to try to improve the situation, to try to improve the squad.
Meanwhile, Thomas Tuchel says he will make a late-day decision about whether or not players Thiago Silva and N'Golo Kanté will start for Chelsea on Wednesday. Both men tested positive for COVID last week. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the January 12th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.